So we're going to look at the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah today. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Jeremiah. But before we do that, I want to bear testimony to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please bear with me as I do this. A couple weeks before I am scheduled to preach, Katie will send me an email. And she'll basically say, do you have any idea what you're preaching on and what your themes might be for Sunday, whatever it is, whatever the date might be? And so then I will send her back a text and maybe just a basic theme or description of what I'm going to be preaching on. And then Katie takes that and she selects songs and music. And this happens a lot. I mean, I've preached at a lot of churches over the last 2 years, and generally that's how things go. Worship directors ask me for a text and a title, and that's about it. Then I don't have anything else to do. But I am constantly amazed at how the music and the liturgy speaks to what it is I'm going to preach. And that happened this morning, and I want to thank you, Katie, for that. It has happened to me so many times over the last couple years that it really shouldn't surprise me anymore. And you know, friends, I know I'm preaching two sermons this morning, forgive me, but it really shouldn't surprise us when God works that way, should it? Unexpectedly, surprisingly, God takes what little we have to offer and he makes it into a great thing. So Katie, I commend you on the service, and I just really appreciate you. Now, Jeremiah 1:1-19. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, but to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilted towards us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Any Three Dog Night fans here this morning? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say Three Dog Night? Okay, a few hands. Three Dog Night was a band in the, I think they started out in like 68, 69, and they continued on through the mid-70s. Remember perhaps their most well-known song, or one of them anyway? It started out, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Okay, I see some nods now. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, a good friend of mine. Little is known, or I suspect, that song, Jeremiah is a bullfrog, is actually entitled Joy to the World. I'm sure you probably remember it now. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine, singing joy to the world, all the boys and girls, joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me. It's a silly song, and the members of the band admit that. It was written as a silly song. It was meant to be a silly song, childish in a way, and yet I think the song was particularly timely for the era in which it was written. You remember the early 70s. I was a youngster, but, you know, the early 70s was a time of, you know, the Vietnam War coming to an end, Watergate. I believe the beginnings of inflation would start to plague our economy. Gas prices were starting to skyrocket. I remember all this. And so a song, you know, encouraging people to sing and have joy and joy for all the world, it was a song that was probably much needed during that time. It may also interest you that the beginning of that song, that opening line, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, a good friend of mine, actually, when it was first written by the author of the song, that line was, Jeremiah was a prophet, and nobody liked it. True story, at least from Wikipedia anyway, and we all know that we all know that Wikipedia doesn't lie. But I think that line, as it was originally conceived, is a pretty good summary of the book of Jeremiah. It's a pretty good summary of this prophet's life. He was a man who was called to bear testimony to the word of the Lord at a time when people didn't want to hear bad news. And all Jeremiah had to offer was a lot of bad news. We are told that he began his reign in the 13th, he began his prophecy in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. Josiah was a reform-minded king. The book of the law had been discovered. Deuteronomy had been discovered while the temple was being renovated, rebuilt. And Josiah heard the word of the Lord read, and he was cut to the quick. He felt the tremendous burden of his people's sin, and he repented, and he tried to turn the hearts of the people of Judah back to God. And that's when Jeremiah's ministry began. In the midst of that revival, we are told that Jeremiah came from Anatoth, which was a small town a few miles north of Jerusalem. It was known as a town full of priests, kind of like Hudsonville's known as a town full of preachers, right? So Jeremiah grew up the son of a priest in a town filled with priests. It's likely he understood what was going on in his community, what was happening in the church of the Judahites. the temple. He understood that it was filled with the word of the Lord, but at the same time, it was also filled with evil and wickedness in the form of prostitution and idolatry of the most vilest kind. He understood that though Josiah had led a revival, a reformation in his nation, the nation, for the most part, continued to look away from God. But Jeremiah understood what devotion to God looked like. He was also young. Most scholars believe that Jeremiah was 15 or 16 years old when he first heard the call of the Lord. 15 or 16. Jeremiah's time, though, was not all that dissimilar from our own. Jeremiah lived in a time of spiritual and moral decay. He lived in a time when there was a mixture of religions and religious practices. Each one could choose which God they wanted to serve. People were content with the appearance of spirituality, content with the appearance of religiosity, but there was no interest in a genuine, heartfelt, and believed faith that transforms you. There wasn't any interest in that kind of faith. People were disloyal to God and His word. In the midst of political conflict and economic upheaval, there was a void of leadership. Family and community were being eroded away. Sound familiar? See any similarities? And it was to that world, it was to those times in which this 16-year-old teenager was called to become a prophet. We know, though, from verse 5 that Jeremiah's call was a very personal call. Listen again to the wonderful words of verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, Jeremiah, before you were born, Georgetown, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah's call was a personal call. To be formed is to imagine God like He is depicted doing in Genesis, God taking and fashioning from the soil, from the dust of the earth, fashioning humanity into being, and then breathing life into His creation. Jeremiah was formed in the womb in just such a way. God formed and shaped Jeremiah, and brothers and sisters, the same is true of us. The same is true of us. God forms us, shapes us, molds us, breathes life into us. Jeremiah is said, or is told by God, that He knows Jeremiah. God knows Jeremiah. To know something is to care about something. To know something is to watch over something. Brothers and sisters, God watches over us. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news that God created us, breathes life into us? God watches over us. God knows us. And then Jeremiah is told by God, I set you apart. God claimed Jeremiah. From the womb of his mother, God said, you are mine. Brothers and sisters, from the womb, God says, we are His. We are His. And then Jeremiah hears from God that he was appointed. He was given purpose and meaning to his life. How many of you are desperate for purpose and meaning in life? We have it because we are God's. That's our significance.
We are God's children. Called unexpectedly and out of the blue, called in surprise perhaps and amazement, but nevertheless called, set apart, known by God and appointed. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says this, that when God, who set him apart from his mother's womb, called him by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in Paul so that Paul might preach him among the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, we are called people known from the womb, loved before all time. So God's connection with Jeremiah is a personal one, a very real one, an intimate one. And it is the basis upon which all of Jeremiah's call is to be made. It's the basis upon which Jeremiah is to live his life. God made him. God knows him better than anyone else. And so Jeremiah's response should be one of obedience. To serve God, to bear testimony to God's call, to bear testimony to God's goodness and mercy and grace in his life, to bear testimony to the salvation that God wants to bring to his people. That's Jeremiah's call. It's our call too. But like so many other prophets, Jeremiah had a ready-made excuse for why he couldn't do what God told him to do. God, I'm 16 years old. I'm 16 years old. You know, it strikes me that God sometimes does the absurd. He asked us to do the ridiculous. And a 16-year-old standing before the king of Judah, standing before a bunch of idolatrous, wicked priests, now that's absurd. Kids, you might be young, and God might give you a call, and it might sound absurd to you, but it's not, because it comes from God, and God himself will equip you and enable you and empower you to do it. Moses doubted his ability. So God gave him a staff, which was to remind him that God is always with him, that his presence always went with Moses, and he gave him Aaron to serve as a mouthpiece. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is overcome with guilt and shame because he has stood in the very presence of a holy and righteous God. But God touches his mouth with hot coals, and Isaiah is assured that he has forgiveness. He has imparted righteousness to do the work of the Lord. When Ezekiel was called, he was given a scroll of the law to eat. So then the law, God's word, became part of Ezekiel, became an intricate part of who he was and what he did. And the same is true of us. God's word becomes an intricate part of who we are and what we do. It's how God forms us and makes us into the very image of his son. Jeremiah's excuse was he was too young. There is not anyone too young to serve God. God responded to Jeremiah's objection in verse 7 when he says, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone, Jeremiah. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Not only was Jeremiah's call a personal one, but it was one to live in the presence of God. For God promises to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us. In the midst of whatever it is God has called us to do, whether we are checking out groceries at a family fair, or whether we are writing contracts in some law firm, whether we are leading a corporation of some thousands, or whether or not we are working in a small business, God has called you and me, all of us, Perhaps the reason why God called Jeremiah was his youth. You know, there's a certain naivete about the young. You know, they're unspoiled. One of the things that I greatly lament is that younger and younger kids are becoming tainted and spoiled by our culture. Technology's made that happen, made that possible. It could be that because of Jeremiah's youth, he was willing to be absurd for God. He didn't know what was in store for him. He was an open book, one that God was writing. Perhaps you and I need to be like children. We need to be young again. We need to be an open book that is untainted, unsoiled by our culture. That an open book that is not easily strayed or is not easily put aside. An open book that God can write in. The encouragement for Jeremiah, even in the midst of his youth and his uncertainty, is to not be afraid. To not be afraid is one of the most often repeated encouragements or commands in all of Scripture. God says, don't be afraid. And what's interesting about this is that when God says, don't be afraid, he usually follows that up with, because I am with you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That God is with us. That God is faithful to do in us what he has promised to do. Being with God gives one courage, brothers and sisters. Being with God gives one grit and determination, brothers and sisters. And this is true regardless of age, is true regardless of personality, is true regardless of education and talents. Brothers and sisters, God is with us. It's a good time to say amen. It's a good time to say a louder amen. Amen. So then God reaches out and he personally places his words in Jeremiah's mouth. God will speak through Jeremiah. God will speak to us through us. Jeremiah will face opposition. He will face ridicule. He will face prison. He will face criticism. He will face charges of blasphemy and treason. Jeremiah will have a hard life, but Jeremiah will not quit because God is with him. And God is with him in the midst of his struggle. The purpose of Jeremiah's call is not a pleasant message. It's going to be a hard message for people to hear. And Jeremiah is going to need all the strength he can possibly muster. He's going to need all the strength that God can give him. Jeremiah's message is that God is going to uproot and tear down, that he's going to destroy and overthrow the southern kingdom of Judah. God is going to judge those who have rebelled against him and who have denied him. But listen to this. God only destroys so that he can rebuild. Did you hear that? God destroys only that he can rebuild. That's God's grace amidst God's judgment. Repentance is an option. Forgiveness is always available. New life is possible, brothers and sisters. That's Jeremiah's message. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet because Because if you read the book, more often than not, he's speaking judgment and condemnation. He's speaking about bad things, but there's always restoration. There's always the possibility of forgiveness. There's always the possibility of God remaking. One preacher put it this way: when God brings catastrophic endings, it is to prepare the way for unimaginable new beginnings. That too was Jeremiah's message. Because Israel had forsaken God in ways similar to and perhaps even worse than many of their neighbors, God was going to send judgment in the form of great and conquering army out of the north. That army was to be the Babylonians, and they were unstoppable. Jeremiah sees this scalding pot of hot water, and it is tilted towards Judah. Symbolic of the fact that the Babylonians are coming and there's no stopping them. God's not going to stop them. They are going to come and they are going to wipe out everything. But then Jeremiah also sees an almond tree. Almond trees bloom early. In Palestine, they bloom in January and February. They are the first signs of spring coming. What do we say when we see a robin in the spring? Or when we see a robin the first time after the snow has come? Spring is coming. Rebirth is coming. Grass is going to start growing. Trees are going to start blooming. Wildlife is going to start running around. We see a robin, and we know that spring is not far behind. Jeremiah saw a pot tilted in judgment on Judah, but he also saw an almond tree. Spring's coming. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our criticism, in the midst of whatever it is we may be facing, spring is coming. New life is growing. It's interesting that in the Hebrew, there's a play on words here. The word for almond is shaked. The Hebrew word for watch is shoked. Hear the similarity? They're the same root. The almond tree appears and it watches for spring. So it is with God and his word. God watches so that his word is fulfilled. God is watching so that new life might be born. So that new life is coming. God ensures, God watches over us to know that his word will in fact come to pass. There is nothing that can stand up to the power of God's word. There is nothing that can stand up to the power of an obedient church, an obedient Christian. Governments cannot. Economics cannot. The gods we make for ourselves and the gods we serve diligently but really are not gods at all, they cannot. But what will stand, brothers and sisters, is the obedient people of God. And so this account of Jeremiah's call ends with God telling Jeremiah that everything around him may be falling apart. You ever feel that way? You ever feel that way? I don't watch the news anymore. I don't click on CNN anymore. I don't click on Fox News. I don't click on any of that. You know why? Because whenever I listen to those, the world is falling apart. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. But you know what? God promises that his church, that's you and me, we won't fall apart. Jeremiah wasn't going to fall apart. God had made Jeremiah like a fortified city, like a well-armed and protected city. God has made him like iron that cannot be bent and it cannot be broken. Jeremiah will be fearless in the face of opposition. Brothers and sisters, that's not just a promise to Jeremiah. That's a promise that you and I have as well. That we can be fearless Christians, fearless disciples of Christ, because God has told us he will be with us, and he is watching over us, and he is watching over his word, and he is going to keep the promise that he has made, that each and every one of us can be made into the image of Jesus Christ himself, and so live as Christ would have us live in the world. You and I, like Jeremiah, we may be ostracized. We may be criticized. And I dare say if we aren't, we might want to ask, why not? Our message will be rejected. We may be laughed at. It may feel as if our whole world is falling apart around us, but God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God will never reject us. God will strengthen us and deliver us. Because brothers and sisters, you and I, we're the church, and we're called, and we're fearless, and we're strong. All in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, my prayer is simple. Make us all Jeremiahs. Make us all Jeremiahs. And it's in the name of our risen Lord and Savior that we ask all this. Amen.